Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 6th of May, and I'm recording at 9:47 p.m., and that is British summer time here in London. Okay, well, there's definitely the perception or the scent of a change here in these markets, and let's start with stock markets. Japan was mixed in here. Really quite a quiet day, but well, of the three indices that I see on my screen for Japan, two of them were down, but not not much. But this is still in a small corrective phase. If you look at the charts from what had been quite a short-term overbought position. China, interesting now because this does look like at least a short-term change in here. The Shanghai Composite Index, remember that had a big downward dynamic yesterday. It was the first one that we'd seen in a very, very long time. And that is gives some downside follow-through. Usually, if you get a downward dynamic and it doesn't mean much, maybe at a occurred because of some sort of news development or temporary fright. But if it doesn't mean much, then the following day much of it is recovered. Well, that wasn't the case here. The downward dynamic yesterday was reconfirmed today, this with Shanghai Composite falling another 69 points or 1.62% overall. Also, the all the Chinese indices, the Hang Seng, not down that much, 0.41. The Enterprise Index down just over half a percentage point, and that H Share Index is on the lower side of its current trading range that we've seen for the last few weeks. Now they're cheap. Well, the Hang Seng and the HSCEI, Hang Seng on a historic PE of 11 and a yield of 3, just over 3. The H Share Index on a PE back to a PE of 10. And also a yield of 3. So I think they'll be moving higher over the medium term, but that A-share index is really quite overextended, and we could easily see a medium-term corrective phase in here. That's what I would expect, but I don't think it's the end of the road for what I have described as a bull market on a number of occasions. Taiwan, quietly steady. Let's see the next interesting thing here. That well, I notice Australia got clipped down 2.31% in here, so that's rolled over. You know, it had an awfully good recovery over the last few months. And but it really has rolled over in this corrective phase. India more so, and India is oversold on the short-term readings, and certainly confirmed by the stochastic indicators. But having been very overbought a couple of months ago, it's looking toppy now. And it has cut through. It had a downward dynamic today. Here, the Sensex index fell another 2.63%, and that's brought it down to 26,717. Remember, it was up over 30, just near that 30,000 level. Now, that has also pushed a little below its still rising 200-day moving average overall. Obviously, it's making investors nervous. My feeling from a long-term perspective, and I have a long-term investment position, in fact, my biggest investment position in India, but I have on a number of occasions in these audios said that India was going to see mostly a year of consolidation. And that's what we've got so far. And the Sensex has come back 10% in here. So it's getting interesting. With a overall global sell-off underway, it can certainly come a little bit lower, but that's going to draw me in if it does much more here on the downside. And elsewhere, mostly modest losses for the so-called little tiger indices. The Indonesian market was an exception, up nearly 0.5%. Now, if we look at the European indices, it was interesting because they were firm this morning, and then they got hit and gave up all the gains, moved clearly into the loss column, but then recovered to close with modest gains for most of them. I take Germany, for instance. It's up a fifth of a percentage point in here today. That's not much, but it's a lot better than the low that we had seen earlier in the day. So we had mostly modest gains, including a very modest gain for the UK index and the Euro Stoxx 50. That was up a third of a point overall. But again, these have mostly rolled over. Certainly the EU indices, they're worried about the whole Grexit thing, and that's just continues to drag on. And so these have all rolled over. Now, just to put all this in perspective, though, the big background factor, which isn't going to change anytime soon, is that there's a whole lot of money being pumped out by the European Central Bank, and that will cushion the downside. We haven't, have we reached an important low? I think the question that's running through my mind, and yours as well, perhaps, is this just another short, sharp pullback from an overbought condition? Or is it going to be at long last something bigger? Well, I think there are plenty of reasons why we could see something bigger. A little bit more on that in a few minutes. In the negative column, we had declines of two-thirds, nearly 1% for the Netherlands, Sweden, 0.75%. Switzerland got clipped in here today. I wonder if that's in response to the strength that we've seen in with the Swiss franc. that was down 1.5% here today. Money moving into the Swiss franc is a sign of nervousness generally, and we've been seeing that recently. Now, Wall Street. It was only 8 market days ago that we had the S&P and the NASDAQ indices hitting new all-time highs. They fell just under 0.5% in here again today, but that was well off the lows. So on this question of is this just another short, sharp sell-off, we'll get an answer to that, I think fairly soon here. But Yellen, I have a report which I'll be posting. Yellen was saying that valuations are sort of high. That interestingly, Warren Buffett, who's about as laid back as any big-time investor can possibly be, said, well, that if you had normal interest rates, which we certainly don't, then he was saying that the market would be a little bit on the expensive side. But he said if interest rates are at the same levels as they are today 10 years from now, which they won't be, I will add, they'll be higher. But he said if they were, then the stock market would be much higher. It would be seen as very, very cheap in here today. So I think the interesting point on that is he's putting that background in perspective. If your interest rates are rock bottom low and you've had QE and other countries are still very much still active with the QE, that does support somewhat higher levels, but people worry about bubbles, some valuations become too high, the market's more prone to the type of choppy, sharp swings that we have seen here recently. Now, really interesting things going on elsewhere. Currencies, the dollar index, another downward dynamic here today. Remember, it had been in that little range just near the 95 level. That was the top of the first area of potential support, is the way I described it, that you could see on the chart. There was a trading range just below the 95 level, reaching up to that 95 level. Well, got clipped in here today and is down at 94.11 as I speak. That's down almost a full point. And it has been down a full point here earlier. So it's just reaffirmed the downward trend that we're seeing. I think the Fed has been an influence behind that, as I've said before. So I don't need to elaborate on that or repeat it all again. But what the dollar index is doing supports my hypothesis. And it's a no-brainer that the Fed wants a lower dollar because they want to get in an interest rate hike or two before the end of the year. They won't do it in June, but September is, well, a good chance of that. I would say about 50-50 chance of that happening. Now, these bonds, well, you know, they lull everyone into a false sense of security and then they start to move sharply. That's the way of markets. And the 10-year, U.S. 10-year, is up to 2.24% here today, 2.24%, and that's testing the March high. Remember, it was only a little bit above 180 not all that long ago, just over a month ago. And the 30-year, more interestingly, which I also mentioned yesterday, that is just back at 3%, excuse me, and at 3%, it is clearly above the March high, and this week it is also broken above its 200-day moving average here. So bond investors, well, they may be feeling a little bit of heat in here on this, because there's been a rather rapid profit erosion. And the thing about profit erosion, if it occurs very, very quickly, people become very, very anxious. If it occurs slowly, well, it's a little bit like the frog in the pot with the hot water, we're getting into the pot and having the heat turned on, rather. And get that image right. And so it doesn't really notice until it's suddenly very, very hot. And that bond market surge in yields is, that's bound to be unnerving a few investors in here overall. You know, if I put all the pieces together, there are plenty of reasons why we could see that long overdue 10% correction on Wall Street, and certainly in other markets, as we saw with India here today. I've talked about the fact that we would almost certainly see a what I would describe as a cyclical bear market or two. That would be, you know, a 20-30% corrective phase over the next few years. But in terms of the big picture, above all that, the big background, I think is still generally quite positive, led by the again the explosion in technology, which is certainly benefiting corporations and also individuals, provided it's not taking your job. And we also have competitive energy prices. Now, they moved up a little bit in here today and then gave up those gains. I'm looking at the crude oil, and Brent is currently trading right now at 67.49, and that's come off. It got up to 69.63, so it's kind of looking at that 70 level, which is just below the 200-day moving average, but again, backing off, giving up those gains in here today. And also the WTI that got up to 62.58 was a good gain, but gave most of that up. It's only up 23 cents right now. It's 60.63. So they're both a little bit high on the stochastics indicators. Would hardly be surprising if they saw a reaction and consolidation in the not too distant future. I think there's been a lot of short covering in there, which has certainly been one of the driving factors. But demand wouldn't be surprising if demand is also picking up a little bit, and Saudi Arabia is keeping some of its prices steady, or lifting some of its prices in here. Okay, what else is of interest to you? The commodity indices generally steady, but precious metals, despite that weak dollar in here, palladium down a couple of bucks, the silver market down 7 cents to 1650. Gold lost $1.25, that's at 1192. There's just not enough interest in these precious metals, in my view. And down $4 on the platinum, it's at 1144 and change. The grains and beans looks like a little mixed. Wheat's firmer in here today. Corn also up 4 cents. Soybeans a little lower. So mixed action here overall. The industrial commodities of the ones that have been firm in the last couple of months here overall. And I think that's pretty much everything. Are you on tenterhooks because of the UK election? Well, if you live in the UK, you almost certainly are. For what it's worth, the markets seem quite blasé. For instance, sterling in here is up today at 1.5246 against the US dollar. And certainly the euro is steady, up 1.1348 overall. And but for the UK, also the FTSE 100 index that closed with a tiny gain in here today. So, as I said, blasé about the election. That suggests to me that those two markets, sterling and the FTSE 100, are discounting David Cameron coming away with certainly the biggest number of seats. Let's hope that the people who've been buying sterling and the people who've been buying the FTSE know what they're doing. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.